It's 8:19. You're listening to Morning Edition on KASU Jonesboro. Good morning. I'm Mark Smith. Joining me this morning by phone is U.S. Senator John Bozeman. Morning, Senator.
Hey, Mark. Thanks for having me, as always.
Good to have you with us, and a Happy New Year to you.
Well, thank you, and likewise.
Our first interview in the new year, and of course, a new Congress in session now, and that we heard this morning on Morning Edition about several actions the House has already taken since it's been in session. In the Senate, Keystone XL Pipeline is one of the first issues to be brought up in the new GOP-controlled Senate, and you spoke on the Senate floor this week urging passage of that.
Yes, I did, and this is something that the State Department in numerous studies has written off on, said it's environmentally safe. Actually, you would have less carbon emissions as a result of the pipeline, increased safety. So there's just a number of reasons to go forward. In Arkansas, with Wellspun and Little Rock making most of the pipeline, Nucor contributing to steel, we have a direct benefit. But also it puts many, many thousands of people to work in construction jobs. And so the public is overwhelmingly supportive. So I think that we'll be able to pass it in the Senate. The question will be whether or not the president vetoes it. It appears that he will. And then whether or not we'll have the votes to overcome the veto.
Well, there is considerable opposition to it, though, and some of the criticism of it is that it would produce only 35 permanent jobs after the construction is over with, and the benefit to Arkansas, you mentioned producing the pipeline, but that benefit would be temporary as well once the pipeline has been put in.
Well, there'll be about $50 million worth of property taxes through the area that it runs through. Also, construction jobs are temporary. That's the nature of the beast. I mean, construction people work on jobs and then they move to another job. If you talk to the unions, if you talk to non-union workers, they desperately want this work. Right now, unemployment among the construction industry is very high. So I think that's, kind of a bogus deal as far as, these not being permanent jobs.
Well, won't this have a negative impact on jobs at oil refineries in the Midwest that are getting this oil now?
I haven't heard that, to be honest with you, so I can't really tell you one way or the other. But I think that the idea of getting oil from Canada versus Venezuela, Saudi Arabia, places like that, is a very smart thing to do in the world that we live in, to take that product and take it down to the Gulf and then value add it by turning it into gasoline, refining it. Again, that makes a lot of sense.
Well, that's another criticism, though, is that the U.S. is basically being used as just a pass-through for this oil. It's not staying here. It's being sold to on the international market, and the U.S. is taking environmental risk while possibly not getting a whole lot of economic benefit. That's one of the criticisms being said.
No, I understand. I think OMB and others have said that the reality is that most of it will stay in the country. On the other hand, if you take a product, you bring it in our country, you value-added it where you make it more costly, and then you do sell some of it overseas, and then that money comes back into the United States to support our economy. That's not a bad thing.
Well, the oil is being produced now and transported by rail, I understand. Even some
Yes.
people in the industry are saying that the pipeline is not an absolute necessity. So why the priority on it?
Well, the studies that have come out have said that when you compare, emitting fossil fuels, the fossil fuels that it takes, for the rails to work, the trains and things, the safety factor, that there's just simply no comparison with the safety going underground, especially having this new pipeline that, will be up to the absolute current standards. Very, very safe as opposed to the rail and truck transport.
Well, the president has announced his intention to move toward normalizing relations with Cuba. Something we were hearing about a few weeks ago. Cuba has released now 53 political prisoners as part of this deal with the Obama administration. Do you approve of what the president is trying to do?
I do. And I think that this is something I've been working on since I came to Congress in 2001. And the reason is that we've had a policy with Cuba for the last many, many decades, and it simply hasn't worked. I believe that when you trade goods and services, you're also trading ideas, and that that's how you change the world, is through relationships. So I think it's the right thing to do. The other thing is, I think we have to be consistent, and we trade with lots worse and have relationships with lots worse human rights abusers than Cuba, in the sense of countries like Vietnam, China, Saudi Arabia, Egypt. I mean, the list goes on and on. So I think it is a step in the right direction.
What's the consensus of other members of your party who are in Congress about this this deal, though?
You know, this is an interesting situation in the sense that it's mixed. I mean, you've got people, Democrats, you've got Republicans, for and against, and so it's not really a partisan issue. It's more of just an issue that does cut across party lines. I do think that compared to now, compared to, you know, 10, 15 years ago, that there is a lot more willingness to look at it and consider opening up markets, opening up relations with Cuba than there was. In regard to Arkansas, we would benefit greatly in the sense that we're such an ag state, and a lot of our ag production is dependent on selling it overseas. And they would be a major market, according to all of the studies, for Arkansas farmers.
Yeah, a lot of this opposition or support depends on more regional than partisan differences here, because of the, you know, who would benefit by opening the markets.
I think that's true to some extent, and certainly Arkansas would be a winner in that regard. But there really are a lot of congressmen on both sides of the aisles that really do feel like, for the reasons that I mentioned, what we've been doing hasn't worked, and then also the consistency, and a lot of people like myself believe that that's how you change the world, is through through trade and commerce, and then again, what comes along with that, trading ideas and things like that. That's how you get a good result.
Now, several groups and organizations are concerned about some of the actions that are going on in the House in this new session of Congress, particularly on Social Security. House Republicans passed a rule change that appears to make it more difficult to transfer funds from Social Security's retirement fund to its disability trust fund. How would this rule change affect those who depend on disability benefits?
Well, I'm in the Senate, not in the House, and so I'm not, really versed in what they've actually done. I know the intent of what they've done is to try and reform the Social Security disability system. And there's been a number of IG reports. That's the Office of Government that investigates these things. The government, GAO, another arm of government that investigates these things. And they all say that the Social Security Disability Fund is rife with fraud and mismanagement. And so, in the interest of protecting and preserving, which I'm committed to doing with Social Security, I understand how important it and Medicare are. It needs to be cleaned up. And that's, as I go about, that's what, Arkansas taxpayers want. Hardworking folks that don't mind sending some of their money to Washington, but they want a government that works. And I think everybody agrees that the Social Security disability system has real problems.
Is this what they've done in the House? Is that something that's going to be dealt with in the Senate? Is that?
Yes, sir. I think it will be dealt with, because the reality is if something isn't done to make the Social Security disability system more efficient and solvent, it runs out of funding in 2016. So it is something that's critical. Sadly, these things are let go to the last minute, but it is something that we desperately need to address to make sure. And again, with Social Security money, I understand that's not the government's money. I mean, that's money that people have set aside for these kind of things, and we need to protect it. We need to make sure that it's there for this generation and future generations.
Yeah, it's something that seems to need to be dealt with delicately, because a lot of disabled Americans are already living near poverty and could see their benefits cut through these changes.
Yeah, but again, I simply don't see that happening. That's the purpose, of reforming the system, is to make sure that that doesn't happen. And so, I want to reassure your listeners that I'm committed. I think the vast majority of Congress is committed to making sure that people that desperately need this help, and again, have paid through, many, many years so that it would be there in case they got in a situation where they needed it. On the other hand, I think all of the studies, tell us that there is a lot of mismanagement and a lot of money's going to people that simply are not eligible and shouldn't be getting the money in the first place.
We just got 2 or 3 minutes left here. The State of the Union address coming up next week. What do you want to hear from the president in that?
Well, I'm looking forward to hearing what plans he's got to go forward and how he plans on implementing things. We're in a different situation now with having a Republican Senate, Republican House. Under the Clinton administration, a lot of things got done, a lot of positive things. And so hopefully we'll be in that situation as we go forward. And again, have a government that works efficiently, where we're using taxpayers' money to the wisest that we can, and then also getting some things done. And I think we're coming out. The Senate's working hard. I think it's functioning well. We'll pass the Keystone soon with many amendments on it to make it a better bill. And I think that's going to be the way that the Senate works in the future, which is a good thing.
Now, I understand you met with the French ambassador Monday, offering your condolences for the terrorist attack in Paris last week. Officials have been investigating what organizations might have provided these gunmen with aid and support, and I understand Al-Qaeda in Yemen has come around to claim responsibility. What response should there be from the international community?
Well, I think there has to be a really, a very, very strong response. Sadly, that's all that these people understand is force. And so, we need to stand, with one of our oldest allies. Without the French, we simply would not have been able to win the revolution. They've been there with us from the beginning. And the good news is the world is doing that. So I think it just further highlights the danger that we're in, and then also the fact that we need to be vigilant here in our country and also share information with other countries to make sure that these attacks, as best we can prevent, don't happen in the future. The problem is in the free and open societies that we have, it's just simply very, very, very difficult to prevent something like this from happening. But certainly, we need to make every effort and the outpouring that the French have received has been remarkable, and it truly is Europe's 9/11.
We are out of time, sir. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much for having me.
U.S. Senator John Bozeman joining us from his office in Washington this morning. You're listening to Morning Edition on KASU.